Happy New Year, fellas.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Good to see you.
Thank you. I'm a little hoarse. I'm coming off a cold, I guess.
Your
nothing
pony?
Tragic. Nothing cold, nothing tragic. I'm fine, but my voice is deep. Been coughing a little bit, but I'm okay.
Cool. Good.
Yeah.
Good. It just want to throw this out there. If anybody's listening and stuff sounds a little different than normal, we are leaning hard into the theme of today's show. We are changing stuff. So the recording mechanism that we're using to record the show is totally different, and it sounds weird to us.
For the first time in the entire time.
Yeah. Yeah. In 6 years. I don't know. How long have we been doing this? 25 years?
I lost count. Like that? 31.
It's been 25 plus 31 years.
So we're using a different recording thing, and we may not have all the levels right and everything, but Brandon's going to fix us up, I'm sure. So anyway, if something sounds different, that's why, and let us know what you think. So
yes.
So yes. How was the week off? How were the holidays?
It was good. I finished my trailer.
What?
No.
What are we going to talk about?
This is right where somebody would insert applause right here.
So. Brandon.
But the trailer is basically done. I have to shore up the frame a little bit.
Basically. Well, now hang on a second. A minute ago you said, I finished my trailer.
No, I just have to, I got a couple of shoring pieces of steel for the frame that I've already put U-bolts, but they're not the right ones. So I have proper U-bolts. I just have to swap out these U-bolts. It's just insurance. It's not a hard yes, it's just insurance because I'm afraid the frame's a little bouncy, and that's just going to set my mind at ease. And it's done. They're going to pick it up, and I'm making signs this week that go with the trailer. I'm making these big marquee signs to go with the trailer. And so that's the trailer video will probably be out. Today's Friday. The trailer video will be out tomorrow. It's ready to go. I just have to do my voiceover, and it's ready to go. And it's 43 minutes long.
Whoa.
Right here is where you insert the sound of the timpan drum going bum, 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 bum. Yeah, no, it's my longest video, but it seems, you know, I've noticed, and I'm not doing this for views or anything. It just happens to be how long it takes to show the process because there's so much to do. But I noticed that other channels that have 50 and hour and change long videos are killing it. So I don't know. I'd be curious to see if the video actually means anything to the algorithm. And remember when we started, your video had to be 3 minutes long, and then it had to be 6 minutes long, and then it had to be 12 minutes long, and then they wanted long videos, and now they prefer short videos. So obviously it's all over the place. And my cat is scratching the blanket over there for some reason. Stop it.
Actually an interesting thing that's happening right now is the patterns that everybody was building toward about length and type of video. I think a lot of that stuff is being flipped over and changed. And
yeah, I don't know where it's at, but I just happen to notice, like, I'm a big fan of Vice Grip Garage, and he puts out hour plus videos, and you know, in day one he'll get 500,000 views, and by the end of the week that video will get 1 million plus views almost every single time. I mean, he is absolutely on fire, and his videos are really long and nothing sped up, and he's a great personality, he's a good guy, and he's fun to watch, he's very informative. So you know, I'm all those things, so I don't know. Why don't I get 1 million views?
that's true.
No, so I'm just, like I said, I'm not trying to go for any particular grab. I'm just curious to see what this will be. But his videos are indicative of being long because he's traveling to a place, fixing a car, and then driving back with it. There's a lot that happens in between. But this video is got a lot of sped up stuff in it. A couple of breakpoints where I'm talking to Patrick or Chris Zepp makes an appearance. So a couple of breakpoints where I'm just chit-chatting, but I'll do the voiceover on the fast-forward stuff because there's just so much to explain. But I think people will be happy with the results. And for me, I'm really happy that it's out the door. I'll be happy when I know that it's made it back to Louisville. And Bob, you can go visit it. I'll tell you where it's going to be, over by the Louisville airport. You can go say hi and touch it. And It's going to Louisville to get a commercial wrap, an advertising wrap.
Oh, gotcha.
And that's the home base for the guys I do all this stuff for. So like I said, I'll be happy once it makes it home with no problems.
Yeah, I bet.
But that's it. I got my new list. I started the back of my garage door is magnetic, and I started these magnetic clips with post-it notes on them or with like index cards with projects. And it's so far, it's turned out to be the best system because I'm constantly moving them around and deciding what could be next. And it's a good way for me to get out. So when I get over to the shop, which isn't every day because I've been working in the Black Barn a lot on the trailer and a few other things, but every time I get over to the Black Barn, I'm always shuffling cards around and trying to upload, you know, onto a piece of paper, upload a couple of new ideas that I have and hang them on a magnetic clip and just keep the ideas jogging around. I started doing that in like maybe October, November, and it's proven to be good for me because I'm really horrible. I have like 7 notebooks going at any given time, and yeah. Oh, I'm like, the best idea I put in this notebook, and then 2 days later I have no idea where it is, and a month later I find it under the seat of my car. So I have really bad journal discipline.
Yeah, I've never been great at journals either. I'm trying to keep like a little pocket notebook in my pocket now. And instead of just scribbling on the next page, I went through the first several pages of it and wrote a kind of topic at the top. So now when I open it up, it's like I know that, you know, project ideas, there's a page for them. And when I fill that page up, I'll create another one. But I'm not just going page to page the next one and writing down whatever's on my mind. I'm trying to get better at that because I'm not very good at it either.
You know what proves to be the best, and this is just the sign of the times. I just, like, wherever I am waiting online or whatever, I just pull out my phone and just write a couple of lists in the Notes app. And that tends to be, because I'll remember, I do this all the time, I'll remember that I wrote down a really good idea and I did a sketch, and I won't remember where the notebook is. And so I just open my phone so I don't forget about it at all. And I'll just put, you know, barbecue or whatever the idea is in just a single word. That turns out to be the most. And then from the Notes app is where I transcribe them onto the index cards and I start putting them in sequential order. So I think this year is going to, I mean, not that last year was any less productive than any year before. In fact, the entire COVID lockdown era, I've gotten more productive than I've ever gotten in my life. And so many interesting things have occurred. You know, I've gotten my Walmart situation has kicked off and I'm into a couple of other new adventures. So 2022, I feel, is going to be as productive as 21, if not maybe more so. And when we get into it, I could talk about a couple of ideas I have going forward.
Yeah.
You know, just the things of learning, goals.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I need to come up with a better way for my ideas. Currently, everything's in two places. There is a notes file with just ideas. And then over here to my left on this board is post-it notes, but I forget that they're there. They're right there for me to see, but they just become part of the background and I don't really use them anymore. Maybe I need magnetic clips and something where I'll tell you
something funny, because I spent a lot of time in my car for a long time driving to and from the house from New York. So I tried this concept because I did the same thing. I write post-it notes and I ignore them. Mm-hmm. So I said, let me put post-it notes in my car because then I won't ignore them. So my windshield, I look like a crazy person. I had like 50 notes because I'd be driving. I'm like, oh no, that's a good idea. Scissor barbecue. And I'd write it while I'm driving and put the post-it note on my windshield from the inside. That didn't last too long. I remember one day I cleaned my car and I threw all the ideas in the garbage because they were all recorded somewhere else. But that's precisely why I did it. I'm like, if I have them hanging in my windshield, I won't forget them because it's like a place where I ordinarily can't ignore.
But, so, David, is that board that you're not taking advantage of, is it out of the way? Is that the problem? It's not like on the way to the door or to the shop or something like that?
No, it's there. I can look at it right now, but it needs to be like on the door. Like, so every time I open the door, I see it. I need a better system. I mean, I have notes pages with a bunch of ideas, but if I don't physically see that idea, I'm not constantly reminded of it to develop it into something a little bit more. So I just got to find a system that works a little bit better than what I have.
Yeah, I wonder if maybe the like taking a discipline around a certain day a week for 10 minutes is like, okay, I'm gonna go through my notes pages and figure out what needs to be on the board. And you know, you're not putting everything there.
Right.
But like what flows to the top right now, what's interesting, and then you get it in front of your eyes to process, you know, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to do too? I'm going to put on post-it notes today when I get over to the shop. I'm going to put on post-it notes some of the goals that I would like to achieve in 2022. Mm. So they're there because I know they'll be there because that's the scrappy shop that never gets cleaned up. So if I put a post-it note on the wall, it'll be there till 2029, I'm sure. So. But the good thing is because they're on these magnetic things, like it's easy for me to rearrange them. Because, you know, with a post-it note, you kind of, it goes stale, even though the idea hasn't been executed. The post-it note goes stale the minute you peel it and put it back down two or three times. Starts getting dust under it, and then you're like, it's not sticking anymore. This idea is now invalid, and you just throw the note away. When in actuality, it just hasn't been executed, and you get frustrated with the piece of paper that has the double-sided tape on it.
Yeah. But,
so, that's it.
Well, David, how were your holidays?
Fantastic. It was, last year we stayed home from everything. And then this year we were able to have something on, we had Kelly's family and then we had the mom side of our family. So it felt normal. We had a normal Christmas, which was nice. And we got to see everybody. And Kelly and I had a very good, profitable Christmas. It's probably a better word than that, but I feel like I won Christmas this year. So it was, I went on a helicopter ride. Kelly got me a helicopter ride for Christmas. It was absolutely amazing. It blew my mind.
That sounds like fun.
So she told me, she's like, keep Wednesday open. Don't make any plans. I'm like, okay. And then she's like, you have any guesses? I'm like, I don't have any guesses. I don't want to. Because what if I guess something that's better than what you're giving me? So, and then at night, we just drove out into the country, and I was like, "She's going to kill me. She's going to kill me for Christmas."
I have a guess.
And we pull into this like tiny little like.
No, lean over a little further. Look, lean over.
Yeah, we pull into this tiny little personal airport. And the parking lot is empty and all the lights are off. And I'm like, this is super weird. I don't know where we're at. This is weird. And then all of a sudden, this helicopter from the sky lands. And I was like, are we going on a helicopter ride? And she's cool. Like, yes. And it was so cool. We just took a tour of the city. They call it the, like, you can, I forget what they call it, but you can see all the lights. The zoo has all these lights up. Then you get to go downtown and through all the suburbs around, and it was only a half hour, but it was amazing. And I always say, like, I prefer an experience over an actual physical gift, and this was totally an experience. Like, I want to subscribe to helicopter rides. It was so cool. And it's not awesome. Like flying in a plane. Like, you just go up and you can fly sideways, and it happens so quick. Like, he goes over the safety stuff, which is basically when you get off the helicopter, never walk towards the back because you get your head chopped off from that little thing that spins. And he's like, all right, hop in. And then I'm like getting, she told me to bring my camera. And so I'm like getting my camera ready. And then all of a sudden we're lifting up and we're flying before I was even like, had my phone and my camera ready. Like you just get in and go. It was so crazy. I don't know. Best gift I've ever received. It was so cool.
That's really cool. That's very thoughtful. That's awesome. And fun.
Yeah. I want to do it again.
I would have said, I appreciate that, but I'm going to wait here. You tell me how it was.
I get to watch a helicopter take off. Awesome.
after the pilot goes through the rules, he's like, all right, do you have any questions or smart-ass remarks before we get in? So apparently he must get a lot of smart-ass remarks. And I'm like, no, I've seen all the Magnum PIs. I know what we're doing. Oh, got to wear the headset and everything. And,
that's great. Did you bring like a GoPro or anything? Did you get some good stuff?
I brought my camera and basically I brought the wrong lens. I brought a 100mm lens. She's like, things are going to be far away. So I'm like, okay, grab the long lens.
Oh, right.
And but when you're on a helicopter, you actually don't want a long lens. You want a wide angle lens so you can see everything. And so most of the photos came from my phone.
I was going to say, no matter how hard you prepare, you end up somewhere and you're like, let me just use my iPhone. Yeah. Things are happening so quick. I'm not switching lenses fast enough. Yeah. I don't know what decision to make here. Let me just whip out my iPhone. It'll make all the right decisions for me.
Yeah. So that was,
I know the feeling.
That was that. New Year's Eve, we just stayed home and watched Miley Cyrus.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, that was our holiday. I am trying all kinds of new things for the new year. I'm doing shorts every day. Not like pants, but YouTube shorts.
So Squirts.
I've done a YouTube short every single day. I'm trying to. The numbers for 2021 were way down. Like views per video, way down. New viewers compared to previous viewers, like way down. So I'm trying to send the right signals to YouTube, get that guy in the basement to turn the right knob. So now I'm doing shorts every single day. And so we'll see if that works.
Steve always talks about it working for him. Steve Ramsey, he always promotes, he says it works well for him. So I've done them a couple times by accident. And I think I told the story here where I did a bunch of shorts one day. I always thought it went to a different feed that you'd have to kind of pay attention to. And I was getting like hate mail. People like, what do you have to conform to the new form for?
I've gotten both.
I'm just trying.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's eventually people just start realizing it's just a bit like people get annoyed that it's this portrait, not landscape. Just another thing people get annoyed at. Mm.
So I bought the Vid Summit video package so I could go and watch all the 2021 Vid Summit speeches. And people were talking like YouTube is working on separating the shorts from the main videos a little bit more. They do in the YouTube Studio app, it puts them in a different category. So any video under a minute that is vertical goes into a shorts category. So you can separate the stats a little bit. But I think they're going to work on separating it from the viewer's feed. So it's more obvious that this is a short video than normal content.
Did you happen to see, I didn't feel so bad about, you know, all the dips in analytics when I noticed that the King of Randoms channel is also suffering a big dip in viewership.
So my pick of the week is the one host. He was let go from the King of Randoms.
That's the video that I saw. That's where I figured that out.
And so I watched that video. I subscribed to his channel, and that's my pick of the week. And I was like, man, I forgot about the King of Random. I haven't really watched over the last couple of years. And I went back in their videos, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but they have like, I don't know, 12 million subscribers, but they're only getting like 100,000 views per video, which that ratio is crazy. And I know crazy. Subscribers don't mean much, but if you go, so I just took a deep dive and like, yeah, their views are way down. And I've always kind of thought it's too much content. Like they're putting out videos almost every single day, and I think that's just too much for somebody to connect with.
It tends to be a little white noise.
Yeah,
it's interesting. I have thoughts about that as well. That I don't know that that's necessarily the case. What you're saying, but I think in the case of the King of Randoms channel, I think the quantity and the subject matter are a strange mixture that didn't hit.
Yeah.
When you look at other, you know, other channels that do a lot of content, like Donut Media, we've talked about many times. They do 5 videos a week, and not every video performs super well, but most of them do pretty well. And they're a little bit longer form, a little bit more in depth, I think, than some of the, you know, life hack type experiment stuff on some other channels. But I think that's a more targeted content type, even though it has the same, you know, pace. There's like 5 a week. That's quite a bit of content, but it's targeted at a group of people with a very specific interest. You know, that kind of thing. So the whole analytics thing is super weird right now. Anybody that is not a YouTube creator may not recognize it, but anybody that is a creator is probably either seeing massive growth poor numbers have gone down a lot. And this is, again, not to complain. I don't think that any of us but are saying that. But it's just the state of things. It's weird right now. It's hard to figure out how to adapt or whether you should adapt or any of that stuff.
I'll tell you what keeps me going. And this is, it's proven to be a big thing for me. And this could be inspirational to the person listening, even if you're not a YouTube creator, if you're obviously just on social media. But I look at every video that I make as another brick in the library, another book in the library. Mm-hmm. And the library is mine. It's on my hard drives. It's in my domain. I own it. And that library of stuff right now is being shown through YouTube. Lately, it's been being shown through Facebook, you know, through this Jelly Smack company that farms my videos and our videos and puts them on. Next year, there might be something different. So right now, YouTube happens to be stop one to park the video and start to get some heat. And so I'm just keep adding more books to the library. Some of them are going to be short books. Some of them are going to be pamphlets. Some of them are going to be, you know, a Titian book. And it just depends on, you know, where I'm at with my creations that week, whatever it is. So I'm focusing on my library, and YouTube happens to be one outlet right now. Well, the obviously the primary outlet, but I'm just focusing on building my catalog. And, you know, every one of my videos, like I've said in the past, I consider like a song. Like, sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not so good, but that song catalog is mine. And if some other new streaming network comes along and wants to put a Jimmy DiResta channel, I'm like, here it is. Here's my 18 gig hard drive that I paid $300 from Amazon for. You could have this. Just send me my residual check to this address. You know, At this point, that's basically, you know, the properties that I own. And that's how I look at it, as opposed to looking at YouTube and, you know, I can't deny that you get panicky, but this, I'm trying not to look at YouTube and get panicky and be like, what's next? Oh my God, what are we going to do? I'm like, you know what? Just keep building the library, because we're on a little bit of shaky ground here. Something else is going to come up, because that is the way the world is going. You know, network TV is completely done. Cable TV is just so scattered. You know, streaming is the way it's going to go. And, you know, any one of us can get a deal with anybody, Peacock, or I don't even know, Discovery Plus, you know, like Discovery Plus, any of these networks are going to eventually be like, it's easy for us to just tap into that stream of, you know, the king of random and put all the videos on our streaming network. It's easy to in the I Like to Make Stuff channel. It's possible, you know, they might select a few good men for their channel, you know, a few good channels for their channel, I meant to say. So I'm looking at it like building a library. I'm going to try not to panic and be like, oh my God, you know, this is going to be detrimental to everything. I'm just keep building a library. I just keep adding songs to the catalog. Mm-hmm. And that's how I look at it.
I mean, I think we've seen over the course of us doing this type of work for several years now, we're getting old in this, you know, in this thing. We've seen the requirement or the direction of YouTube as a platform change in our favor and out of our favor and in our favor and out of our favor and whatever. And sometimes it's hard to know whether that is anything that we can control or contribute to, or if we need to react at all. And that's one of the things that I've thought over this past year is like, well, stuff's not performing great, but like, does that mean that I need to adapt, or does that mean I need to wait it out and stick to my guns? And, you know, like, I don't want to just change the channel to match current trend.
And that's basically what I was saying without really articulating it as clearly as you just said it. I'm not chasing, I don't want to chase views simply because I'm not getting them as much as I used to. I'm still making the same exact stuff in my personal feeling. I feel like I'm still making the same type of content. It's just, you know, people's tastes maybe have changed, or probably more likely the algorithm's tastes have changed. So how often is it that we like get a random video suggested? I'm like, oh yeah, I like that guy. I completely forgot about him. Mm. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're watching this guy's last 2 years worth of videos you forgot all about, because you forgot he existed because you had so many other things on your mind and nobody just showed him to you. Nobody, meaning the algorithm, didn't, hey, look, remember you used to like this guy? You know, they do it, and then all of a sudden you're like, wow, this guy led a whole life for the last 18 months I completely missed. poor. Yeah. He made content for 18 months that I missed. And so I'm not taking it personal, and I'm still going to do the work that I do that I believe is true to what I want to do.
And yeah, that's kind of where I was headed. Was I think it's easy for us to get like, oh no, and get panicky, and I think from talking to my agent, he represents. I'm the only person in our space that he represents, but he represents a bunch of beauty, you know, influencers and gaming creators and people in other areas of video, and they're all seeing the same thing. And so the thing that's interesting about that, it's unfortunate. I don't mean like, yay, everybody is feeling my pain. I'm not saying that at all. I just mean that it's interesting that it's industry wide. And I think that's what you're saying, Jimmy. I think
it's a changing fad.
Yeah, it's a changing landscape that could be changed because of the viewers' intentions and interests. It could be the mechanism that's giving them videos. I don't know. But either way, it's not us necessarily. I mean, I'm sure some of it's us. You know, some people just get tired of watching me or whoever for a while. Anyway, all that to say, it's an interesting thing to look at for this coming year is like, how do we adjust or how do we change, if we change at all, or do we stick to our guns and just kind of, and so it sounds like the shorts thing is one of your attempts to kind of wade through that.
Yeah.
And are you seeing it working at all? Is it?
It's still early. Cause I've only done 5 of them, 5 days in a row, but it doesn't affect my main videos. I'm still working on the main videos. The hope is, so in 5 days, I am seeing a little bit of new viewers as opposed to return viewers. And, but I haven't put out a regular video since doing the shorts, which that regular video will be out on Friday or Monday. And I will see if some of those new viewers will watch that video to see if the views are up. But it's going to take weeks to see if it's actually doing anything. It's taken about an hour to shoot them and then edit them. They're all little tips. I'm also going to do some like recaps of old videos, kind of like what you see on Facebook and stuff. But if after 30 days of doing this and I don't see much change, then I will probably let go of it because it's taken an hour every single day to shoot them and edit them. So
yeah, that's a lot.
I'm having fun doing it. So I enjoy it. And as long as it doesn't take away from the long form content that I'm making, then we'll see.
Yeah. I put out one short, this is not what we were planning on talking about, but since we're here, I put out one short, just spur of the moment a few weeks ago, just like, does anybody, cause I don't watch them. Like I don't watch a lot of YouTube anyway, but I intentionally skip over shorts cause it feels like, and this is unfounded, but it feels like when I see one that it's like an unedited impromptu, here's a little thing. Or I look at the feed and I see 10 of them in a row from a certain person. And I'm like, well, that could have just been one video if there's 10 1-minute clips or whatever. So
you're talking about me.
I put just a impromptu like, hey, is this something that's interesting to people? What would you even want to see here? How could this be useful to the audience? I put it up. It was like 10 o'clock at night. And immediately got quite a few responses, which is interesting because it garnered response. But the response was almost entirely, don't do it. And there were a bunch of different reasons why not to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and those are all personal preference and stuff. So I'm not saying that's the case for everybody. But I, after just maybe 30 minutes or so, I unlisted the video because I was like, I have the information I need from this. And then I did a community post saying, I did this little experiment. This is what most people said. What do you think? And I don't plan on doing shorts now because of it, but it was really interesting to get a lot of feedback about what people think. Because some people love them. Some people don't want to love them. You know, like it's like, it's a new thing. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to see it. Some people had really good reasons why they were a great idea and why they were a bad idea. And about 1,000 people told me how Steve uses them and how I should do exactly what he's doing or so-and-so is doing. And, you know, I mean, so there were all the gamut of responses, which was, it was really good information to get. And so it's not something I plan on doing, but as an experiment to get feedback, I think it was It was really good.
I'll have to check out Steve's. I haven't seen any of his shorts. But two channels that I think you watch that do really, really good shorts is Unnecessary Inventions. His are punchy. They are quick. They are very fast edits. And there'll be recaps of old videos, but he does it right. He does a little voiceover, and he does it really good. And then Peter McKinnon will have like some, his shorts will be like this, some strange, weird coffee maker or a knife that costs thousands of dollars. And it's very interesting. And those are my two main inspirations when it comes to shorts. They're not just like, hey, look what I'm doing today. They are it's real content just in 45 second form. So that's what I'm trying to do. I want them to be value. I want, when you go through my library of videos, I want each one of those to live as its own video and still be just as entertaining or as valuable as the long form content.
Yeah, I think that's a good plan. I think if I were to do them, I would have to have the same thing. I think like I was looking at them as Instagram stories, which, you know, can be a little throwaway and they're super short and can be, here's what I'm doing this very minute. And that makes sense. That's what people are used to for that. So I was thinking of shorts being the same way. And it may be a case of shorts and this is me, I'm just talking off the top of my head. I have no, I don't know. But it could be that it hasn't found its footing yet, whether it's a story type thing or whether it's a well-edited tip, valuable thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe it hasn't decided what it needs to be yet.
Well, Instagram stories goes away after 24 hours. YouTube shorts are there forever. They are,
right.
You know, they're part of the library. So I look at them a little bit different. I don't see them as throwaway content.
Yeah. So I think one of the other things about this, since we're here, is that I'm kind of thinking through about, like, do I want to do more? Is that really what I want to do? Do I want to create another thing that I have to, you know?
Yeah.
Or do I want to do less? Or do I want to do better? Or do I want to do different? And because I think over the years, my tendency, and all of our tendencies, I think, have been to, like, well, I probably need to do more. Mm-hmm. I probably need to do longer videos or more videos a week or more types of videos or, you know, and it just feels like a piling on of commitment to a thing that, especially if we're seeing certain things not perform as well, or, you know, our interests are going in a different direction, or, you know, whatever, like maybe more is not the right answer. And maybe it is. And obviously this is going to be different for every single person, but I think for me, more is not necessarily the right answer. So then it comes down to, well, if I have X amount of time and I don't want to add more to X, I just want to put X into video production or into projects or whatever the thing is. Do I want to split that between shorts or what, you know, Instagram and main videos? Do I want to split that? And then which one gets less? Because one of those then has to get less attention so that I can have two things fit into the same amount of time. So there's a lot of that with me. And I think, I know I've talked about this a lot over the past several months, but I think it might be my place in life where I'm like, okay, I've got this much time every day, every week, every month. And I got to decide where I'm going to put that because it matters to me more than it used to. And so I don't necessarily know that that means I need to put more of my limited time into making more video or making a different kind of video or maybe it does sometimes. But it's weird thinking through all that stuff and then having the whole shorts thing from YouTube pop up as like, hey, here's another thing that you can do. You know, this would be really handy for your channel if you did this thing. And I'm like, yeah, but it's more. That's what I'm trying not to do. You know,
I'm still going to make whether it is my job or not, I'm still going to make things. And so if I can figure out a way to keep having a career around me making things, I'll adapt to a certain point. So I don't want to be, I don't want to be the old guy yelling, get off my grass. Or in my day, we used to just make 20 minute videos and they worked. And now, you know, so
yeah, Well, and to that, sorry,
yeah,
I
don't
mean to interrupt you. But I think to that, like one of the things that I've been going headed towards over the last maybe 2 years or so is I want to do things that take more time.
Yeah.
Like the car. I was thinking about this last night. I was flipping through Instagram, looking at these beautiful Karmann Ghias that have been fully restored. And they're just gorgeous. And I'm like, man, I wish I was independently wealthy and I could just go stick my head in the sand and work on that car until it's done. That would be so nice. You know, it would be fun, but I can't because it would take so long. Even if I were filming it, it would take so long that everything else would kind of wither. And that's an extreme example, obviously, but you know, even take something like the rotisserie that I'm building. I started building the rotisserie for the car, and it's turning into a much bigger. I mean, it's still doable, but it's not as like cut weld as I was expecting it to be. I don't know why I was expecting it to be that, but it's not as simple. It's going to take more time.
There's a lot of engineering involved in that, even though it looks simple.
Yeah, and a lot of assumption at the beginning is turning out not to be correct. And so I'm having to adapt, you know. But even that, you know, it's going to take more than a week. And like, I'm finding that I don't necessarily want to limit my potential to what I can accomplish in a week. And that's like right on that line of old man, get off my lawn thing, you know. But is it about keeping in the pace? Is it about doing a weekly thing? Is that the young man's thing, or is doing what you really care about in the way that you feel is best and that you're going to enjoy the most? Is that's not an old man thing. That's like a happy person thing, you know?
I encourage everybody to embrace their growth. No, they're, you know, I say it all the time, like, what would we all be like 5 years ago versus 5 years before that versus 5 years before that? You know, if you keep going back, eventually you're an infant. Now you're an adult with all these toys to play with. So it's not going to be arrested in any particular one time zone. You have to keep evolving.
Yeah.
Everything evolves.
I've always, I think I'm where I'm at because I'm willing to accept change, willing to take chances, willing to evolve. And, you know, like when magazines were dying, like you used to go to Rite Aid and there'd be a wall of magazines, like an entire
remember
wall.
When there used to be Rite Aid?
You remember when there used to be Rite Aid? Exactly. And now when you go to the drugstore, it's a tiny, tiny little section. And I remember when like these magazines were going away, I was like, you know, well, that's their fault. They didn't adapt. And I'm like, I'm always going to adapt. And so I just want to make sure that I'm always willing to change as long as I get to be creative. I think being creative is what fulfills me. And right now, video editing is that creative outlet for me. Making things out of wood is that creative outlet for me. Playing with musical instruments. So I'm always going to be happy if I'm creative and I'm just trying to keep an open mind.
You know, one thing I think is really cool about that sentiment, what you just said, is that there's not, in the world that we live in the way technology is and the way platforms are and self-publishing and all that stuff, there's not one or even a few paths that are the most productive path. You know, like 50 years ago, if you really wanted to be an actor, if you loved acting, there were like two ways to do it. Mm-hmm. Like you could be local theater dude, lady, or you could be, I'm going to Hollywood and I'm going to figure out how to make it. But now
I'm going to Hollywood. I'm going to live in a bus station.
That same passion now can be played out in so many different ways. And yeah. I think that's really cool about what we're doing. And like the three of us, we've all been doing basically a similar thing for several years. In very different ways, to very different ends. And I think that's really cool because where your passion can lead you further, like I want to experiment with shorts or I want to experiment with this type of video production. Jimmy's is like, yeah, I can take all these ideas that I've been building and showing off over the years and turn them into physical things that get sold in these places. Mm-hmm. You know, It's just super cool that, like, I think we can all adapt and be adapting in different directions, but they're still, like, profitable and positive and
right.
I don't know. I think it's neat.
It's a crazy world. I'm reading articles about bands who are paying for recording albums by selling NFTs. Like that's bonkers.
Wow.
And their fans are buying these NFTs. It's like it's like buying a stock. You're investing into this band, and you can be a musician now professionally. If you embrace SoundCloud and Bandcamp and all that, it's just, right. We live, it's a crazy time.
I love it when musicians actually make it outside the system.
Yeah.
It's such a, you know, F you to the way the old world used to be. I think it's incredible.
I got this email yesterday. This kid, he's like, I'm 12 years old and I want to know if you went to college. Because I want to do woodworking professionally, and I want to know if I should go to college. And I haven't answered this email yet because I really want to put some thought into this email. And I don't want to. I want to share my experience, but I don't want to push him one way or the other. And but my thought is like, do you need to go to college for certain things you do? And some people need it for the experience and for the knowledge, and some people don't. We just live in this crazy world where you can be whatever you want to be, at least in the creative field.
Yeah.
It's funny. This conversation keeps coming up with my nephew, who's like vacillating between quitting school. He's just in his first semester as of this Christmas, and he's going back for his second semester. And my brother keeps asking me to somehow inspire him, and I can only just give him my personal advice, and if he follows it, that's up to him. But I keep telling him, I said, college is obviously there. You're there for the learning. I said, but equally as important, you're there for the relationships. It's the people you meet. It's the friendships you develop. It's, you know, you having a conversation with somebody and somebody says something about an old printing press and you're like, what is that? And now all of a sudden, you're off in a completely different tangent that you just never would have thought of if you didn't have the inspiration of conversation and just the social interaction with people around you. And I said to my nephew, I go, now you could say, oh, I'm at Indiana State Business School. He's going to some school in Indiana. I don't even know the name of it, but he's going, maybe it's Kelly Business School, maybe. And I said, now you don't go there and you stay home and you live in my brother's basement. Who are you going to meet in my brother's basement? Who are you going to meet at the local corner store when you go to get, you know, your Diet Coke or your beer? Who are you going to meet? You're going to meet everybody you already know. You're not going to have any outside inspiration. You're not going to have any outside influx of, hey, you know, my dad is a famous actor and these are the things he taught me and, you know, whatever. You know, who knows? You don't know who you're going to meet. You got to get outside of your comfort zone. And like I said, that's always been my advice. Several students over the years have brought me to the side and said, look, I'm thinking about leaving school. What is your opinion of that? They've respected my opinion. And I said, stay as long. If you don't like this school, go to a different one. But don't drop out simply because you're feeling uninspired. Because if you feel uninspired around all these people, you're going to really feel uninspired when you're completely alone.
That's a good way to put it.
You just got to find what it is that will inspire you. And, you know, maybe it's not graphic design or maybe it's not whatever your subject major be. But I said to my nephew, I was like, because my nephew's very goal-oriented when it comes to like being a producer of content. He really fashions himself like a Howard Stern, that he is like the pinnacle of all these crazy friends and personalities he knows. And he's trying to somehow corral that into some content. He's done some really funny videos. He's like, and more, a little bit more on the intellectual tip, but still beer pong, a lot of this stuff. But that's just because he's 18, you know, he's going to grow out of that and be a little bit more intellectual as he grows. And, but I said, you're going to go to school with guys that are going to be your co-producers. You're going to go to guys that are going to be your cameramen. You're going to go to school with guys that are going to be your co-writers. You're not going to meet those guys sitting home. All the guys you know are the guys that'll flop onto the beer pong table. He's not going to help you, right? He's your actor. And he's like, you're right. So
yeah, lots of people have asked me that same thing, David, over the year. You know, what should I go to school for? Should I go to school or whatever? And that is a super hard thing to try to, when somebody's asking your opinion, you know, like it feels very dangerous.
It does feel very dangerous. That's why I haven't responded, because I don't want to sway him one way or the other. I want to encourage anybody to do what they feel like they should do.
I say, if you could afford it, I always say do it. And I say, it's like 60-40. It's 60% for the friends and relationships, 40% for the education.
Yeah. My response has always been like, I would never try to convince somebody not to go to a college, but don't go to a college that is going to put you in debt for the rest of your life. You know, there's no reason to do that anymore, I don't think. If you're going to be a doctor or a lawyer, you have to go to college. Otherwise, you don't have to, but you're going to get a lot out of it. One of the biggest things I learned from college, and this is what I usually try to tell somebody when they ask me that, is I learned how to learn. Because in high school, I was lazy and I just wanted to play music and I didn't do what I should have done. I didn't learn how to learn correctly. And in college, I was exposed to tons of different stuff that I never would have had any other reason to be, you know, why else would I have taken a color theory class? But man, that has paid off to me in so many ways. Psychology. Why would I take a psychology class? But it's paid off to me in a lot of different ways. And so the exposure to things that I wouldn't have been exposed to from an education standpoint is huge. But also I just learned how to be able to accomplish stuff that I wasn't already interested in. I wasn't already interested in psychology, but I had to learn how to learn that so that I could pass it. You know, I think that counts for a lot, because then when you get into, especially what we do for a living, we're constantly running into things that we don't know how to do. We're constantly having to figure out how to learn something new. And maybe that's not the case in every industry, but good grief, it certainly doesn't hurt to have that as a skill, you know? So that's generally my response to that. You know what? I have not talked about what I've did over the holidays at all.
Your turn.
And I wanted to bring this up because we're going to talk about goals today, and we haven't done that. And we're almost an hour in. But I did nothing for the holidays.
I didn't do anything either, by the way. I just stayed home and did nothing.
I wanted to point that
out. Taylor's mother was around, but that was it. But we did nothing.
Yeah, it was weird. It was good. I mean, it was intentional. You know, I decided.
You didn't fly in a helicopter?
Not to do anything.
Are you even living?
I got a dog.
Yes.
So that's.
The dog is adorable.
Kind of like flying in a helicopter.
Except it poops.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure does at 3 o'clock in the morning in the crate last night. Yeah, so we got a puppy. We've been talking about getting a dog for a long time, and the last dog that we had, it ended up being a kind of just bad situation and a lot of aggression issues and stuff, and so we had to rehome that dog, and so that kind of put us hesitant, you know, to get another dog, because it was hard for us to rehome a dog based on its behavior that, like, we didn't want to, but it was for safety and stuff. Anyway, that was several years back, but it's been hard for us to try to be motivated to, like, introduce another thing into our house that we have to take care of. One, because our kids are, like, older and, you know, we have a lot going on all the time. But we finally decided to get a dog. So we rescued this dog from this shelter that my wife knows. She watches all the time on Facebook. There's this lady that runs a foster for a shelter, and so she always has these puppies and older dogs and stuff too. So she's always showing them off on Facebook, and my wife and the kids watch them all the time. So we had an idea of, like, where this dog was coming from and how she was being treated and all this stuff. So we went the day after Christmas, told the kids, hey, we're going to go on a hike. And so, you know, just get all your stuff. We're going to go drive to Indiana and we're going to go for a hike. And they were like, well, where are we going? I don't know. We'll find out. So then we pulled up to this neighborhood that we've never been to, pulled up to this house that we didn't know. We get out of the car and they're like, what is this? And this woman, who they never actually seen, but they knew her voice from the Facebook videos, she walks out of the front door with this puppy on a leash. And they're like, oh, that's a cute puppy. Totally didn't get it. It was awesome. Totally didn't get it. And so then she talks And my wife's like, hey, do you guys recognize her voice from you know, watching videos? And they're like, oh, are you Lacey? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, cool, nice to meet you. Totally didn't get it. There's like one dog, a puppy, on a leash in front of them. Anyway, so it took us like, hey, guys, do you want to have a dog? And they were like, what? Anyway, it was really awesome. So we adopted this puppy, and we've had her for about a week and a half now. It took a week to name her because apparently it was a Democratic situation.
What's the name?
So we went with Indy. Actually, oh, nice. The kids went with Indy. We got her in Indiana, and we all like Indiana Jones, so we went with
That's
Indy.
A great name.
Yeah. And so she wasn't potty trained, so the last week and a half has been, you know, back to having an infant of some sort, having to handle all of the stuff with that. But she's getting better. She's learning, doing some training, and it's a big adjustment for us, you know, just the way your life gets settled, you know, when you have rhythms and stuff, and then when you bring in a new animal or a new kid or a new whatever, it just changes all the rhythms. So we're adjusting there, but it's really cool, and I'm hoping that she becomes, like, I really want to have a dog that is next to me all the time. That's like my buddy that follows me around. Yeah. I'm pointing to the dog laying behind you. And so I'm
gotta be the one.
Yeah, I'm spending a lot of time with her. I'm trying to get like
all my dogs love Taylor because she's the one that trains them, she's the one that feeds them, she's the one that spends all the time.
Yeah.
The minute she walks out of the room, all three of them are like, where are you going?
Yeah.
Like, hey, what about me? They're like, okay, where are you going? The second she walks away.
We had to start alternating meals, taking turns feeding her, because she was doing the same thing to Jenny. Every time Jenny would walk around the island in the kitchen, she would just like follow her and look at her and just like sit next to her and stuff. And I'm like, well, she's the food lady. So yeah, so we're adjusting to all that and everything, but she's really cool. And other than that, my break was like, we took, a couple days before Christmas till after New Year's just off and just didn't do anything. And I really didn't even try to come down to the shop and clean. I should have, but I didn't do any of that stuff. I tried not to think about projects. It was really nice. And it was surprising that it was nice because usually I have trouble with that. And I did get a little antsy and stuff, but it was nice to have a break. I needed it. And so, anyway, throw that in. That's what I did over break, was nothing.
Yeah. We did nothing. Funny thing, Taylor and I, Aaron was my 3D printing guru. So anything we need 3D printed, Aaron would print stuff for me and Taylor. And so in his absence, me and Taylor said, let's confront 3D printing. And I texted you guys over the break briefly. And we got the Elegoo going in Taylor's studio. And she's printed like 10 things by now. Taylor has really gone crazy skillful on Fusion 360. She's figured out Fusion 360. I'm going to start having her create some of my models, which is amazing because it's in-house and she loves helping and she really loves learning. So she's taken her 3D models of her furniture designs and she's 3D printing them.
That's cool.
And, you know, with some of the prototypes going forward with some of the tool-making stuff that I'm going to be working on, I'll probably prototype, you know, in the shop, 3D model, and then let her remodel it with some more details in it, and then come back to a 3D print on some of the stuff I'm going to be working on. So should be fun going into 2022. And we have the Elegoo Mars 2, Bob, at your suggestion. And I was looking at the Saturn because it's a little bit bigger of a plate. So
the Saturn is nice. It's very nice.
By next week, there's probably going to be a Saturn and a Sun. Who knows? The things change so quick. So. But I'm thinking about getting just the one with a bigger plate so we could 3D print bigger stuff.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you're interested in the cost is significantly higher. So you know, nobody likes spending more money. But the one that David has, the Prusa, what's it?
SL1S.
Yeah. The printing is way faster.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Way faster. Well, before I buy a bigger one, I'll definitely do a little bit more research because the need hasn't presented itself yet. I want to kind of maximize the use of this other one first and to have two going because Taylor's constantly trying new versions of models. And she's also configuring things to come out of the printer, you know, perfectly flat or on an angle with the trees on it and stuff with the supports, and she's getting into the app. So that's what we did, like, between Christmas and New Year's, is sat at the computer and fiddled around and tried different things.
That's great.
Yeah, so that was good. You know, like, we wanted to take that block of time to, like, okay, let's invest in something going into the new year, something that we'll use instead of just lazying around watching Netflix.
Yeah.
So that was good.
Awesome. Well, we didn't talk about goals for this year. You guys want to plan on doing that next week?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll come up with some goals.
What's funny is this new app doesn't have a... This new app doesn't have a time.
Yeah, I have no idea how long we've been recording.
Are we still 5 minutes into the episode?
Oh, you don't see a time at all? Yeah, we're 56 minutes in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting. It seems like you would need to
see that. That kind of throws... I think, Dave, did a week simpatico here to kind of throw up...
It did. I have no idea. Like, oh, maybe we should start talking about our topic, but I have no idea. So,
yeah. Right. Hmm. So we'll set a watch next time and keep an eye on it.
Yeah. All right. Well, you guys got anything to recommend? We got to do Patreon stuff.
Rhythm is off.
Yeah. Yeah. Super weird.
The rhythm is going to get you.
Big thanks to our Patreon supporters. We got a brand new year, and we still have all these supporters over there on Patreon, and it is super cool that they stuck around and they continue to stick around. Our top supporters are Corey Ward, Albers Woodworks, Works by Solo, Chad from Mancrafting, You Can Make This Too, Fun Kiss Artistic Creations, Blondie Hacks, Rich at Low End Designs, Full Steam Designs, and Odin Leather Goods. But there's a whole bunch of other people, like Gary Burkhart.
What's up, Gary?
Mm.
He's on the list. There's a whole bunch of people, and they support the show, and they all get the after show. Oh, there was some question. I want to throw this out there. There was some question from, I can't remember his name, but one of our patrons about, like, wondering why we changed the after show. If you are a patron, nothing has changed about the after show. You can still listen to it directly on Patreon, or you can get the RSS feed. Both of those are an option. We didn't replace one with the other. So nothing has changed in the after show. We just talked about the RSS feed a few weeks ago so that people knew how to get it in their podcast player, but it's all still there. So anyway, everybody at Patreon gets the after show, which could be an hour and a half long today because we don't have clocks. So we'll find out. But if you want to join up this year, we would greatly appreciate it. If you want to get the after show, go to patreon.com/makingit. Or if you don't want to do that, right on. We're just glad you're here and listening. If you want to leave us a review on your favorite podcast app, apparently that gets it in front of more people, which is always awesome. So we would love for more people to listen. You guys got anything to recommend? I kind of don't.
I found a cool channel this morning. I got up real early. Cool. I woke up at like 5 in the
morning.
That's
what time you go to bed.
To fall back asleep. I went to sleep at 3. Okay. And I woke up at 5. True. You know, I have the sleep app because of the wristwatch, the Apple wristwatch, and I have the sleep app. My app's always yelling at me. It's like, you need more sleep.
Yeah.
Hold on. I can't remember the name of this channel, but oh, here it is. The Lesics, Lesics. It's got 5 million followers. Lesics, it's an engineering channel, and they do CGI simulations of modern technology. And their newest is they explain how and why electric planes are inevitable or actually are currently being engineered and developed through. Electric planes that have electric props and axial motors with axial stators, which is like we're used to a motor that has the magnets that surround the barrel. These are like the barrels in the middle and the magnets are on either side of it, like a big sandwich. So it spins. Yeah. So it's pretty cool. It explains like it's a new version of like the Tesla motor. And it's just all engineering. It's all crazy little engineering stuff. It's really cool.
Okay. So I searched for it. I'm like, oh yeah, I just watched one of the videos the other day. It's called The Interesting Engineering Behind the Shape of Train Tracks.
Yeah, that's been getting a lot of views, and that's how I found them.
It's such an amazing video. Yeah, I was like, hey, I'll click on this. This will be background. And then I just found myself like staring at my computer screen like, this makes so much sense. Yeah. Of course. That's 100%. Why trains work this way. Yeah. So is it my turn?
Sure.
All right. So I'm going to go with Nate from the internet, and he put out a video called Why I'm No Longer with the King of Random, and it's just a 36-minute video of him telling the story. I think the more interesting part of the video is how the King of Random grew with Grant.
Yeah, and how then, the changes behind the scene, yeah. He talks about that.
And so it's just a good video, and you should check out Nate from the internet because...
It's not a hater video. He's not saying anything bad. He's just saying things changed, and so I'm here now.
And then this wasn't going to be my pick, but since this is on my desk, I'm...
I'm in there somewhere, aren't I?
I'll have to go through. This is the Paul Jackman calendar, and he's great with his photography.
His Photoshop skills.
Like, he will change the size of his head or his body, but just slightly. So at first, you might not know anything is off, and then you're like, wait, that seems a little weird. Yeah, he's great. He's creative.
He did a funny Photoshop. I haven't seen the finished one because I haven't gotten the calendar in my hand yet, but there's a picture of all of us sitting in front of the big TV set on the TV show, and he made Groz. He apparently Photoshopped Groz to be kind of extra small, a little bit small. I haven't seen the final version yet.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Jumping back to Nate real quick. Let's say friends. We've never we've met, but we've never really hung out a whole lot. But we talk a lot over text. And I checked on him after he posted about the first thing, and he had really good stuff to say. He's a good guy, like a really good guy. And I actually tried to get him to move to Kentucky, but he wouldn't go for it. So. Anyway, but we're talking about maybe doing something in the future because I think he's got a lot of skill with like knife making. He makes beautiful knives. He does lots of stuff. So he's a good guy. And I think everybody should go check out his channel and support whatever he's going to do next because I think it'll be cool.
One of the things that he talked about in that video was like the plan was never for him to be in videos. And so when he was first started hosting, you know, there was a little bit of who is this? This is not Grant. He's not as good as Grant. And I remember when I first saw him, I'm like, oh yeah, he's not the best host. And then you got to see the progression of his host, like him developing hosting skills, and he turned into a great host. And it was cool to see that evolution. And he talks about in that video that I'm recommending, he talks about things that are learning skills that he didn't think were skills that you could learn. And but if you do something every day, it does become like a muscle that you develop.
Yeah, I still haven't watched that video. I needed to watch that. My pick is another friend of ours, Bobby Duke. He put out a video about a picture frame. Did you see the picture frame he did?
I haven't watched it yet, but I will.
He blows my mind.
He's incredible.
Blows my mind. He's awesome and incredibly silly. I mean, like, my kids would love watching his videos just for the fart jokes because there's so many. But he makes this picture frame, and it's this combination of wood with all these crazy holes drilled in it, and then he puts it in a form and pours resin in it so it fills in the holes, but it creates the rest of the frame in resin, and then he puts this like sparkly plastic stuff in it so it shimmers. It's crazy. It turned out really, really cool, and it was just part one. The part two of the video will finish out the frame, but it's a frame to put around this piece of art that went from artist to artist. I don't remember, there's like five or six different YouTube artists. Somebody painted something, sent it to someone else, and they added another piece, you know, and like all like that. And then it ended up with Bobby, so he's making a frame to show off this thing, using the colors and using the kind of whimsy from the art in the frame. And I don't know, he's just amazing. Like, of all the people that I know, when I think of artist, you know, like we've talked about before, an artist can be a lot of different things. But he's one of those people that stands out so hard in my mind as this dude is full on artist. Like, he could get lost in his art, and he's really good at it. So go check out Bobby Duke.
That's a fun name to say. Bobby Duke.
Oh yeah. Yep. And if you're down for fart jokes and poop jokes and stuff, he's got a lot of them, which is great. All right. You guys got anything else for this week?
Good to be back.
No.
Yeah.
Good to be back. We'll get a better, I think we'll get a better rhythm next week once we use this app with the time code.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll figure it out. We'll talk about goals next week. Talk about goals.
Let's come back with three solid goals.
Okay.
Each.
One of mine is to pull one of my cars into a garage. Mm. I'll just go ahead and throw that
out
there.
But that's an easy one.
Is it?
I can help you with that.
Is it easy? Anyway. All right, cool. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Happy New Year.
And, thank you.
See you next time.
Love you. Love you.